Well, this morning, I'm not sure exactly where Mr. David Taylor... David, where are you at right now? Are you still on a beach? Are your feet in the sand? Is that what's happening right now? And so we're blessed enough to have visiting speakers. Our guest this morning is Kevin Spence, and Kevin works right now with Training Leaders International. And he's no stranger to Alaska. He was the pastor of Bible Chapel up in Soldotna for 14 years. There's a few people here who know him real well, I would say, yeah? And so Kevin's going to talk to us about what he does and missions and how he trains pastors to love Jesus and find Jesus in the Word. So let me come on up, Kevin. Let me pray for Kevin, and we'll begin. Lord God, thank you for Kevin, and thank you, God, for preparing his heart, Lord, and really preparing him his whole life to be here at this moment to share with us what you want us to hear. So God, I pray that our hearts would be open and you would speak real clearly through him. We give ourselves to you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? All right. I was raised as a class, trained as a classroom teacher, so if you're not shouting at me, I don't know if you hear me, so I apologize for that. So, anyway, it is a blessing to be here today. It's a blessing to be back in Alaska, blessing to be in Homer. I had to stop on the drive down from Soldotna and the Overlook and take a picture, tell Minnesota friends, you have no idea what it's like, what a wonderful place Homer is. It really, really is. So thanks for being here. I have been blessed today worshiping with you. I'm hearing you sing. Seeing all the kids around just warms my heart, and your commitment to serving God, it's been great, and I'm privileged to be here today. I have to talk about my least favorite subject from the pulpit, which is me. I really hate doing that, because you didn't wake up this morning to come to see me. You didn't get out of bed and say, oh, Kevin's going to be preaching, let's go. None of you did that, and if you did, you have a problem. That's not what we're here about to talk about me. We're here to worship the Lord, amen? And so I want our time in the Word to be doing that, but I also want to tell you what God's doing in our life and maybe ways you can partner in reaching the nations for Christ, because, again, a missions-minded church, that's what it's about. So I'm going to pray to that end, and then I'm going to start and just introduce, tell us about ourselves and my family, introduce that and go from there. So, again, Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for a chance to sing your praises, and what a blessing it's been. Thank you for the Sunday school classes beforehand, and what an encouragement it was to my heart to sit in and hear those lessons being taught. Thank you for those that are working with the kids right now. We ask your blessing upon them, those in the nursery. We pray that it's a quiet day in the nursery and that kids are calm. And Lord, we pray for Pastor David, who's not here, the dear friend that he is, and bless his time. But Lord, now as we open up your word, Lord, we want to hear from you. So Lord, let my words be your words. Let the thoughts be thoughts, be your thoughts. Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit has unhindered access to this place and to our hearts, and that you're glorified through it all, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. So I'm going to start in Acts 18, if you want to turn there as we go from there. But again, my name is Kevin Spence. My wife is Donna. We've been married almost 31 years. We got saved after college, and then 15 months after that, we were off to the mission field, working in Arizona. Working with teaching youth, teaching children, and I was hired to be the finance guy, and they said, we don't want you to teach in the classroom, just stay in the office and handle the numbers. They kept that promise for 3 days. On the third day, I'm teaching eighth grade geometry with no experience whatsoever. The teacher left, here's a book. And the Lord is gracious in that, and then moved to being the chaplain of that school. Left there to come to Alaska to work at Cook Inlet Academy. Some of you are familiar with that school. I was there for 4 years. And then the last 14 years, I was an associate pastor on staff at Soldotna Bible Chapel. I'm in charge of children's ministry, so go VBS. Woo-hoo! 14 years of leading VBS. My decorations are legendary for not the positive reasons, just so you know. So that's what I was called to do. And we have, I forgot the clicker. They gave me the keys of the kingdom. They're going to regret that. So, it's not working. There we go. I went back. All right. So this is our this is my family. From left to right, my son Nathan, Sohi class of 2015. He spent many a day in Alice Whitty Gym playing against the Mariners. You didn't like the results most times, but that's a separate issue. That's his wife Anna there, and our grandson Theo, who will be 2 years old in May. Next to him is my son Caleb, Sohi class of 2018. He played baseball down here as well as basketball. So again, you don't like him as much either. That's his fiance now, Kaylin. They're getting married on April 22nd down in Missouri where they go to college. So my wife, Donna, had a choice. She can either come here with her vacation days or go to the wedding. And as much as she loves you, she chose to go to the wedding. And she's watching right now and agrees to that message. So we said that. So she taught at Sohi for a number of years and worked in the library, at Sohi for a number of years, and now works at a community college teaching sciences. And then last is our daughter, Rachel, Connections class of 2020. She was a swimmer, so swam in the pool many times down here. She is busy cramming 10 semesters of college into 7, try to get her CPA exam a year from now. So that's our family. Those are connections. But after our daughter graduated, we said, Lord, what do you want us to do? So then we left in 2021. We started support raising. And then in 2021, we started working for Training Leaders International. Again, here's the problem around the world. 85% of pastors around the world have zero theological training. Okay, 85%. 17 out of 20 pastors around the world have no theological training. By the way, the Roman Sunday school class today was awesome. And you're talking about commentaries and everything else. These people have none of that. They have none of the tools that we have. They don't have the phones that we have to do this. They don't have theological training in this. All they have is an open Bible. And I'll give you an example of this. A pastor in Cameroon in Africa, you know, we asked them a question at lunchtime. How do you honor your elders in your village? And he says, once a year, we dig up their bones, we parade them around the city square, and then we bury them again. We got the idea from the Bible. I laughed the same way. He's dead serious. This is where we got this from. And what they had done, they had read the account of when Jacob passed away, take my bones to the promised land, and said, we need to do the same thing. Now, I love this man. Who would not love a pastor that's reading the Bible and wants to do what it says? Amen to that? But that's not what that passage means. That's not the point of the passage. So there's a two-hour impromptu class for 2 hours explaining what this meant and the Exodus and all this kind of stuff, what we're talking about, and try to explain it to him so it fit in the context. That's what we're talking about in that kind of ministry, is how to do this. Because the biggest problem we have in the world, in the developing church, is, I don't know why it does that. Maybe it's this. There we go. Is that me? I'm doing the wrong button? Yes, probably. Yeah, I understand. I'll own that. The biggest need is leadership training. Okay. The biggest theological export from the United States to the developing world is the prosperity gospel. PBN is available worldwide on the internet. And we can name different prosperity pastors around the world. And they do this. And you have a person in Senegal that's hurting, that's suffering. And here comes a pastor that if you give us some money, God will bless you with a house. And the house meaning the shed that we keep our stuff in, that's a house. God will bless you with these things. And they believe it. And when it doesn't come true, the name of Jesus is trash to them. That's what's going on in Africa, in South America, in Asia. That's what's going on. They need leadership training in how to understand the scriptures. So Training Leader International exists to establish and strengthen local churches and their leaders around the world. The growing gap in theological education leaves the global church susceptible to false teaching, decay, and collapse. We offer solid training that is culturally appropriate, effective, and the key word at the end is reproducible. We tried doing Zoom training overseas. Guess what? It doesn't work. What's the first thing you need to have a Zoom lesson? No. No. A building. Then you can have power. Then you can have internet. Some of these places are still meeting under a tree. That's not reproducible for them. So we work it in places we can, but we generally don't do those kind of things. That's what we're about. That's what we're doing. So where we work, this is a pre-COVID map. This map's expanded and contracted a little bit. The latest place is going to be Chile. We'll be going to Chile in April 22, starting a ministry there. Another ministry is going to happen with the South Sudanese and the refugees among the South Sudanese. Again, more of the information about that you can find at the table in the back. So my role is threefold. I'm the director of short-term ministries, which means one, I get to lead two or three teaching trips annually overseas and teach the gospel. So this is Africa, where I was last year now in Africa, preaching. And by the way, I have the same problem when I go to Africa as you do anywhere else. I'm here to do a one-off sermon. And my heart is expository preaching. We take through a book, we go, doom, 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 doom. But one-off, well, how do you do that? And I have found that the best lesson to teach overseas is one on suffering. The prayer request, the suffering, it's universal in the fallen world. It really is. And they need to hear God's hope in that as well. Just things you learn along the way. Leading Bible studies, and again, no one today can see, wherever I go, the kids tend to follow. And hanging out with the kids. That's what we get to do two or three times a year. The second thing I get to do is ensure that all trips are successful theologically and logistically, basically making sure the right people are going who are trained to go, and they get there safely and get home safely. Recently, we had a trip going to the Dominican Republic. They're 2 days in, and the hurricane warning starts popping up. And before they finish, a hurricane was going to hit the island. And so they said, we need to get out. So who gets that phone call? I get that phone call. And by the way, by the time we decided to get out, all the flights to the U.S. are booked solid. There are no flights out northbound. So if you can't go north, you go south. We flew them all to Panama City, then from there we flew them home. Amazingly, no one wanted to fly to Panama City or had the money to fly to Panama City. Separate discussion for another day. That's what we do. And the third thing we're called to do is be an asset to the local church, our partners. I get to see God doing really, really cool things around the globe. And the people that pray for us, the people that support us financially, the churches that do that, I get to share that with you and encourage your faith so you can go to Safeway and share the gospel, so you can strengthen the church here. That's my role as well in these situations. So, again, the man in the middle there studying the Bible, his name is Deong Chang. He was raised by, both his parents were voodoo doctors in Haiti. Not just his mom, not just the dad, both of them were voodoo doctors in Haiti. And he got saved. And they said, if you accept Christ, we're going to kick you out of the house. He accepted Christ and boom, he got the boot out of the house. He wants to go back to Haiti and reach these people, but how's he going to go? How's he going to go and do this? You know, this is a class in Liberia of MDivs. They've sat through 72 credit hours to get their stuff. The man on the left and the guy on the right are our teachers over there. Help. They go for a week and teach intensive classes. You're looking at probably 40 churches represented there by these pastors are going to lead with their MDivs, and then they're going to train up other pastors and go on and go on and so forth. This is in Ethiopia. This started with a class of 50. The graduating class was 80. People kept hearing about it and coming in and coming in and coming in. And so actually the first ones have to go back and do the first three lessons, but they just had to put a cap on it. No, we got to stop. We'll do another cohort in a year from now. So we're just started the second cohort there. Again, the text, if you want a text for this, my favorite text for this is in Acts 18, verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and talked accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside, explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished across to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote him letters to go forth. What did Priscilla and Aquila do? Aside, let's tell you more about Jesus and send you on your way. That's what we're doing. How to find Jesus in the text, how to preach Jesus to the people. That's what we're called to do with people. So that's what our ministry is. And so the question comes from that is, oh, and as a side note to that, I have another photo outside that I can't share here because we're broadcasting. Some illegal activity going on in Asia, baptisms. It is illegal in many places of Asia to be converted to Christianity and get baptized. It's happening. And so if you want to see those pictures, they're on the table outside. We can talk about that more. But the question I've been wrestling with, and I wrestled, and I was After we took my daughter back to college, she had a difficult sophomore year. She had her junior coming up, and we're leaving her in Missouri for college. And I'm going, how do I encourage her when she's in college from a distance? How do I do that? I said, I want to send you a care package. She says, no desserts. I'm trying to cut out desserts. I'm going, well, that's all my care package ideas. They're out the window right now. What do I do with that? And then I was thinking about during COVID, how do we, as a church, how do we encourage our missionaries? How do we encourage our missionaries as a church? How do we send them out? How do we encourage them on the field? Again, you have missionaries in Hawaii and India and Wyoming and different places and the baby bottles for the pregnancy care center. How do you support them? And I was thinking about that, and I stumbled across a blog by a guy who's a rabbi and who got converted out of that, so he's a Messianic Jew, and just explaining some verses in 1 Samuel, and I thought they were very apropos. So if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, we're going to spend the rest of our time in those verses, 1 Samuel 1 and 2. Now, I want to walk through this as we would with the students we're teaching. So the first question, in one sentence, what's the Bible's main story? And I know 90% of you know this, but you've never actually thought about it and written this down. Does that make sense what I'm saying? You all know this intuitively. I can tell by your answers, by your saying, you know what this says. What is the Bible's main story? What are we talking about? And the main story is the Bible is God's plan to reconcile the world to himself through King Jesus. Okay? If you hear someone preaching on that's going off a different direction than that, okay, there's a red flag. That's a red flag. When you hear the prosperity preachers on TV, they go a different direction than this. That's a red flag. And we teach people to know this. And so next question. What type of literature is 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel? It is narrative. Did I goof my slides up? There it is. Well, now, you told me this guy not to do this, and I did. So narrative. What actually happened versus what should happen. This isn't the time of Judges. Judges is not a how-to book. If you didn't know that already, I'm telling you, Judges is not a how-to book. And so we read it with the sermon. This happened. Should it have happened? Maybe yes, maybe no. And then the question, the other thing, what's the theme of 1 and 2 Samuel? And the theme is using compare and contrast, showing the supremacy of the Davidic kingdom. And since the Messiah is the son of David, ultimately the superiority of Jesus Christ over everything else, as it says in Hebrews. So it's set up this way as compare and contrast. And this sets up with first chapters 1 and 2, there's two families involved. Elkanah, Hannah, and Penaniah versus Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. Look at the initials there. What initials do you have? The same. The Holy Spirit knew what he was doing, amen? And set up in this contract, we have EH and P versus EH and P. One a righteous family, one not. So how do you send out your kids into culture from a righteous family to an unrighteous culture is a question. Is that the main question? No. The main question, how do we send out our missionaries to deal in that situation? So there's some pointers that we learn along the way from Elkanah and Hannah. Peninnah is not one we want to follow, the example of that. And so we can have these things. The Samuel, son of Elkanah, is superior to Eli and his family. He anoints David. That fits in the theme of the scripture. And so we go from the things we can find out from this. And so again, turn to verse 24, chapter 1, verse 24. This is our key verse right here. This is our key verse right here. And when she weaned him, the ESV, it says, and the child was, what? What's it say in your Bibles? Come on, classroom teacher time. What's it say in your Bibles? The child was young. In the Hebrew, it says child, young. The same word for both of them. Okay, that's a really weird construct. But now flip ahead to chapter 2, verse 13. The custom of the priests, the people, was that the men offered the sacrifice of the priest's servant. Anyone have a footnote with the word servant in their Bible? Anyone have a footnote of the word servant in their Bible? And if you read it, it also says young man. The word young man and the word servant are interchangeable. It's the same word. We do the same thing. What was one of a derogatory you used for a slave is boy back in the time of the antebellum. Young man, servant, the same idea. So I don't believe in this case it says the child was young. I think a better translation is, and the child went from being her son to the Lord's servant. Went from being her son to being the Lord's servant. Well, how did they make that happen? How did they make that happen? Number one, they were faithful to the Lord. Let's read starting at chapter 1, verse 1. Go from there. There was a certain man of Ramath Zophim in the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoiam, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives, Hannah, the other Peninnah. And it says, now the man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. But the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. He would go there to sacrifice. In chapter 2, what did Hophni and Phinehas do with the sacrifices? Flip ahead to chapter 2. What did they do with the sacrifices? Nope. My pages stuck together. I'm sorry. It said they were worthless men. They would stick the water was boiling, they stick a fork in there and haul out the meat and take it raw. Was that what the Levitical law said to do? No. So are they following God's law as the priests? No. But yet Elkanah had a choice. Do I still do the right thing and worship the Lord the way I'm supposed to? Or do I say they're wrong, therefore I'm free to go do something else? Do I do what I'm supposed to or go do something else? Okay. You're talking politics, right? Guess who my congresswoman is? Omar. Okay. Does that excuse me for not voting? No. I got to do the right thing, whatever that entails. They did the right thing. They worshiped the Lord faithfully. Whether the church was good, whether the church was bad, whatever was in control, they worshiped the Lord faithfully. They were faithful to go, and it said he was faithful to take the meat, faithful to offer it, and faithful to give it to his family. On the day where he sacrificed, verse 4, he would give portions of the Peninnah, his wife and all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion. And then we see the next thing going ahead is that they were faithful to pray. Okay. Verse 9, after they'd eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And again, the context here, this wasn't the first time she prayed. They repeatedly prayed, and she said, oh Lord, if you look at your servant, remember me, and give your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life. And no razor touch his head. He'll be a Nazarite. He will be a servant of the Lord from this time forward. She committed to that. So this is a person, these are family that prayed. Another thing they do, they're faithful to connect. She went to the temple. Eli saw her and said, how long are you going being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I've not been drinking, but I've been pouring out my soul to the Lord. And the text goes on. And again, I'm a classroom teacher at heart. I know the bell's going to ring any minute now, so I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. She had a relationship built with Eli, and she used that to connect Samuel with him. It wasn't the first time when they dropped him off that happened. She was very faithful to do that. And then, verse 24, we see this coming down again. When she weaned him, she brought him to the house of the Lord. Verse 25, they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli and said, O Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. This child I prayed, and the Lord granted me my petition. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he left him there. It used to drive my wife crazy. We're from Pennsylvania, okay? And we sent our kids to college. My oldest went to the University of Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner, for one reason and one reason only. He got a 5-year full ride, including a master's degree, paid in full. And he looked at it and said, what does this mean? I said, son, that means you're a Sooner. Okay? So, went down, flew to Anchorage, flew to Seattle, flew to Dallas, drove to Oklahoma City, dropped them off, did that, came all the way back. And so I'm doing that. And meanwhile, my wife's classmates are going, I can't believe I'm dropping off my kid and they're 20 minutes from home. She just wanted to go, you have no idea. Non-Alaskans have no idea. And all God's people said, amen. To leave them there is something. When we were at the boarding school in Arizona, they would bring kindergartners to us and leave them with us. Do you know why they did that? Because we would feed them. They couldn't feed them. And most of them would come high. They would come high on peyote, their worship services. They'd come into us high. But can you imagine leaving your kindergartner there? And she left a what? A 3-year-old or younger. Can you imagine that? But she did that. She was faithful to do this, faithful to send them, faithful to be in prayer, faithful to say, yeah, you need to go. you need to go. Okay? My church didn't want me to leave. At least some did, but they were faithful to say, God has called you, you need to go. You need to go. They're also faithful to expect great things from their offering to the Lord. Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord, my strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. And again, for the sake of time, the text goes on about what God's going to do. And Gacy, and this is a prototypical prayer that Mary used in the Magnificat at Christmas time, that praying about Jesus, that the parallels are there. You can see Jesus in this prayer. Do you expect great things from your kids when you send them out? Yeah. Do you expect great things from your missionaries that you send out? Do you expect the world to change because you have sent them to the field? Are you praying to that end, that the world will change because you sent to the field? And like I say, I get to see some really, really awesome stories of what God's doing. And I need to tell you so you know that your prayers are being answered. Okay? And the last one, Samuel was faithful to break. He was faithful to go. He didn't object. He went. And the last one we're going to look at is in verse 19. And his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up to her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Every year she made him a robe. Every year she brought him something. Every year she kept doing that. And continuing, ongoing support of the ministry. That's what she used to do. Again, summarizing these things. How should this passage affect us now? These seven things. Faithful to worship the Lord. Faithful to pray. Faithful to make connections, relationships. Faithful to send or to let them go. Faith, believing that great things would come from their faithfulness. Samuel's faithful to go and faithful to their ongoing support. Boil it down into four words. The first one for missionaries. Your missionaries you have, pray for them. Your missionaries need prayer. Your VBS needs prayer. Okay? Your school teachers need prayer. Your politicians need prayer. We need the people of God to pray. We need the people of God to pray. As a missionary, the thing I covet the most is your prayers. I want you to pray for the ministry. Again, I've had two trips canceled in the past year. The first was a civil war that was cold, came hot right before we were supposed to go, and the troops invaded on the town in Ethiopia where we were supposed to go, and we said, we're not going. And that's the Lord's provision. That's an answer to prayer. We didn't go. The second one in Sierra Leone, the town we're going to go to 3 days before we're supposed to be there, riots broke out. 35 people died. Martial law was declared. We couldn't go anywhere, so we didn't go. A week later, a monsoon hit, flooding. We would have been trapped there in that town for a long time. God's people prayed, and God answered the prayer. Not the way I wanted him to answer the prayer, but God answered prayer. God answered prayer that way. So for your missionaries, whether it's us or anyone else, please pray for them. Connect. Kathy Beachy is the best connectors I know. She really is. When I came here to David, she goes, Kat, he says, I'll vouch for him. That's how I met David. She said, I'll vouch for him. Okay? Some of you are going, I know that guy from somewhere. Yeah, I officiated your kids' games at some point in time, and you were mad at me. Okay? I cannot tell you the number of people at the Bible Chapel in Soldotna that will come to me on Sunday and says, I was so mad at you on Friday, and I owe you an apology for what I said to you in the stands. I've been sworn at in Yupik, in Navajo. I've been sworn at in many different languages. Never by Kathy, though. And so that's how she introduced me, and she made connections. And then I know she's connected other people here. They tell that. If you know someone that might be interested in our story, tell them about it. Tell us about it. If you know someone, hey, there's this cowboy guy in Wyoming. Like, I didn't know you had that. I know someone. I'm going to say, hey, they have this ministry in Wyoming. You need to check this out. Spread the kingdom that way, right? Connect them with friends. Let's internet work and do these kind of things. Give. Be faithful to give. You know, yes, we need financial support. Yes, your mission needs financial support. Be faithful to that. And also to go. Okay, maybe you go to Wyoming and help for a week. Maybe you go to the Pregnancy Care Center and volunteer. You know, how can you serve? How can you do things? Pray, connect, give, and go. That's what your missionaries really, really need from you. Again, my job is to what? Tell you the cool stuff that God's doing. What's your job? What's your job? Pray, connect, give, and go. That's our job. So if you want to pray for us directly, and this is time to break out your phones, everybody, because we're all QR code savvy now. Okay, you can pray for us. You can sign up for a newsletter this way, or if you don't do this at a table, I'll snail mail it to you. I really don't care. I just want God's people to pray for this. When we're overseas, I'll send daily prayer requests, daily meaning assuming I have internet access, which isn't always the case. We'll send prayer requests. We send an urgent prayer request if something pops up. One of our guys was in Brazil, and he took his family and his two-year-old son, and they found him face down in the pool. God's people prayed, and today he is no sign of any damage 6 months later. Okay, so he called into me in a panic, and we got him. I got him to the hospital, and we got the prayer chains activated, and we prayed. So we sent out those kind of requests. We need people to pray for us. My next trip is to Malawi in March. There's Malawi there. I'm stoked and scared about this at the same time. This is a very, very oral culture, a very, very non-literate group that is not familiar with the Bibles. I believe that we're going to be the first people to tell them about Solomon and about all the prophets. What happened from Solomon onward in the Kings and about all the prophets, they've never heard that before. These are pastors. This is someone come and says, okay, who gets the Bible? You. You're leading a church like that. And their churches are struggling to grow because of that. And it's the kind where we're going in, driving 3 hours in a Range Rover to get to our lodge, the Range Rover with the snorkel on it. You know, you ever seen those on TV? They really exist. I've been in them. They're really uncomfortable. I don't recommend it to ride on the roads. And then we go another hour into training to a group like this. This is what we're called to do. We need your prayers to understand that we can bring it down to the level they need to have it at. That's what we're called to do in this situation. So we're excited about the opportunity. I'm taking a friend from Kisilov with me to travel. So you can come too, not this one, but another one with us. We'll get to that in a minute. Again, connect, another QR code. If you know someone interested in our ministry, you can connect that way. Please do so. But again, other ministries you support, please connect them that way. Please do that. Again, if you want to give to us, we're at 85% of our budget. $250 a month will cover a training of 15 pastors. That's at least 30 churches, if not 45 churches, to be involved. And you can sign up with us, your phones. And I don't want to linger there. I want to kind of go. You know, there's a lot of you guys that are smart in Bible. I want to take you with me overseas. Who wants to go and have fun and an adventure for the Lord? Okay. Again, my prayer for you is that you reach the South Peninsula for Christ and that you keep the love you have here. As you said, you need to share the love of Christ with everybody. Your parking problem is a great problem to have. It really, really is. You're burst into the seam. That's wonderful. I hope we can be a part of your family and strengthen the church here, and you can strengthen the church overseas. And when we all get to heaven, we can see what the Lord has done. Amen? Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for these people here and their love for you. And Lord, it's been obvious since I walked in the door today, their love for you in so many ways. I'm just privileged to be here today. And Lord, I just pray that this church would continue to grow, continue to flourish. And Lord, as they send out people to strengthen the church around the world, that there's some that will go, some that will connect, some that will give, but all will pray. But we'll pray for your provision, pray for your blessing, pray for your open doors, and that the church might be blessed going forward. So thank you for your time together with all everybody. We thank you for your word. And Lord Jesus, have your way with this message if you pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kevin. And like he said, if you're interested in that, I want to have more conversations, he's got a table in the back. I would definitely encourage, if you're not familiar with our missionaries, the people who we already do support, take a look. They're on the wall, and God wants to use them to speak to us and through us, and he wants us to connect, go, give, and pray. Those are the four things. Remember those four things. As we move into communion now, if we could have our worship team come on up, one of the exciting things about communion is, we do it every week here at CCC. I appreciate that because I can think for the last 2,000 years, people have been doing communion, have been remembering the Lord in prayer and remembering the Lord in the bread and the wine, and they still do today in Malawi and everywhere else. So let me read this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He says, "For what I received from the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so today, as we take communion, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. We are remembering it. We're saying it out loud. We're saying it by our actions that we believe this and we take this together. And so this is a chance, if you call CCC your home, we welcome you to come on and up and take communion. Let me pray for us. There's communion places here and here and in the back. Let me pray. God, thank you for the sacrifice that you gave in sending your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for the blood that he spilled, Lord, and the body that was broken for us. Lord, when we take this, Lord, we don't take it lightly. Help us to remember you and be thankful for you and the sacrifice you gave. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Make your way forward. Lord, thank you for your blood, Lord. God, thank you for allowing us all to remember this together today. Lord, thank you for Kevin, Lord, and speaking through him, Lord, the idea of Samuel and Hannah sending their son to go. God, I pray that the words that you have spoken, God, would fall to rest in our hearts and our minds. And there be something today, something from this service that we write down, that we remember, and that we carry with us through the week. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.